My name is Jeffrey Reuter. I'm from El Reno, Oklahoma. This is a friend of mine and a prayer partner and a man that goes to church with me and a great friend, Keith Weldon, and we're going to share this time with you. I'm going to speak to you a few minutes about quiet time, and Keith's going to share on prayer. Let us start with a word of prayer, and we will get started, okay? Glad to have you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful morning. Thank you for this wonderful place to come and to relax and to share your word and to grow in your word and to meet other Christian men and young men. And Father, we thank you for this wonderful organization and the Navigators that are so determined to further our lives in obedience to your word and our walk with you, and help us to be better grounded in facing the world today. And we just thank you for them, and we thank you for men like John Crawford that have devoted their lives to this goal. And we pray that you would continue to bless this organization and this Key Man's Conference for many years to come. Father, we just pray that we would do your will here this morning, and that we would discern what you would have us to hear, and that you would speak clearly to us. In Christ's dear name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, guys, what we're going to do to start off with here this morning, we're going to be quiet for 2 minutes. We're not going to say anything. And after 2 minutes, we'll get into our discussion. But I just want you to not speak. Just be still for 2 minutes, starting right now. Dwayne, you got it? Okay. What did you think about? What were your thoughts on there for those 2 minutes?
I thought it seemed like quite a while.
How about the rest of you? That seemed like a long time. Were you ready to go do something else? Were you climbing the walls? We'll get them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'll
we'll
make sure
them.
They're on
the point. How many of you take time just to be still every day? Okay. All right. What keeps you from that? Do you feel busy? You wake. What happens every morning when you wake up? What's your first thought? Excuse me. Speak up. What happens if your first thought of the day is, "What can I do for God? What's God want me to do today?" What would happen to your life? What would change? Make better decisions. That's good. What else?
Less stressful.
Okay. All right. Change your perspective. Okay. That's good. When you think about in the Old Testament, in Exodus, I believe it was in 16, and it talked about manna. What was manna? What was manna to the Israelites?
Survival.
Survival? What do you use for your manna today? We all eat, don't we?
Some a little more than others.
Some more than others?
Yeah, I've already had two breakfasts today.
And you aren't finished either, I don't think. But what should our food be? Excuse me? Okay. What would happen if we spent more time in the Word of God? Would you be better equipped to handle those things that you talked about a while ago? The stress? The rush? The anger? The problems? The relationships? How would it help you? If you had a spiritual diet, what would it mean to you? What would your spiritual diet be? Who would look up? Any of you have Bibles with you? Look up Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. What do they say? Someone read that for me. Okay. In the short, what's that say? What would you be doing? Be feeding on His Word. You could be like that tree by the water. You'd get your nourishment every day. And you would produce fruit. How many of you do that? How many of you are by the water? And by the water, I mean the Word. How many of you spend time there daily? What about John 4:14? Who would read that? How's that sound? Sound pretty good? Drink from His Spirit? Do you feel like a spring? That the Word's coming from you every day? People recognize that you're like a gushing spring? A fountain? How many of you drive by a fountain and look at it and think about how neat that looks? We drove by a fountain or a waterfall last night. You know, and the water running over. I mean, it always gets your attention. There's something about it, it'll get your attention. Is that correct? Think about that when you're in the daily workplace. Are you that fountain that people can look at and say, hey, that guy, he's got something going for him. Why? Maybe they'd like to have a drink from the Spirit. Or they'd feed from His Word. Maybe they'll ask you. And it says here, when we are fed and have an understanding, we will desire to cultivate our relationship with Him. Desire to cultivate a relationship with your Lord. He wants intimacy. And wants us, in response to His Word, to talk with Him and not others. How many of you spend time daily talking to Him? Do you have a special place to do that? Not necessarily. Don't have to, do you? Can be anywhere, anytime, can it? It says pray without ceasing. And to me, that's talking to Him without ceasing. In the Old Testament, how did the people in the Old Testament know how to pray? How did they know how to pray? Excuse me? You read the Bible? Okay. All right. Anything else? And think about some prayers that you know that are in the Bible, or some responses or some songs. Think about Hannah's prayer for Samuel and her dedication of Samuel to the Lord and her prayer of response when Samuel was born. How about the Virgin Mary when the angel came and told her she was to have a baby? And she met with Elizabeth and she sang her song of praise in response to God's giving. Or look at Nehemiah when he was to build the wall back. Or to Daniel. What created those people? They didn't have Jesus Christ. What did they have to build their faith on? What did they have? You're exactly right. They had the Word. They still had the Word. They had the writings of the Old Testament prophets. They had those scripts, those scrolls. They had the Word. It's no different than you and I. Look in Daniel 9:1-3. And I've got it here. And it says it was the first year of the reign of Darius the Mede, the son of Ahasuerus, who became king of the Babylonians. And during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, was studying the writing of the prophets. I learned from the word of God. I learned from the word of the Lord, as recorded by Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. What else did he do? It says, I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. He was determined, guys, to spend some time with the Lord. He was determined to pray. He was determined to get the Lord's help in the situation he was faced with. And how did he do that? He spent time with the Lord. And it wasn't with a bunch of other people around. Did Christ have a quiet time?
Yes.
Perfect example. I mean, who better could tell us to have a quiet time than the Lord? Most of the time, when did he have it? Early in the morning. But he did it when at night also and prayed, didn't he? When they were in the garden, just before he was taken, he went and prayed. He went off by himself. Why did he do it? What was his goal? What was he trying to develop? There you go. There you go. An intimate relationship. How many of you consider that you have an intimate relationship with the Lord? Okay. Again, why don't you? What's stopping you? Are you afraid of Him? Think He's going to lie to you? Think you don't have the tools you need? There's no reason, guys, if we can't spend time with the Lord, who out there can? And if we're going to be the cornerstones for this world and for God's kingdom to grow, how are we going to do that if we don't spend time in the Word? Okay? Think about that. We've talked about who has a quiet time in here. We've talked about why you don't have one. But give me a list. Tell me the reasons why you don't have a quiet time. Let's go over them again.
Too busy.
What else? Okay. All right.
I have to get working in my routine. If it's not in my routine, it's not going to happen. So
yep.
You just got to get it started and keep it there. Don't even think about why you don't get up early.
Right there is the key for me, guys. I'm a hard person to get to going in the morning. I can commit. But I am slow to get up. And there's nothing I like more than to spend time in the Word. I love it when my days aren't rushed. But I can take, instead of 5 minutes of hurry up and read this, to 15 or 20 or 30 minutes of reading it, spending time praying, maybe meditating on some scripture. But I'm terrible at it. Maybe that's why God's got me up here teaching this class. I don't know. I don't know whether God or Virgil Coffee, but I'm up here. And I'm enjoying it. It took me a little while until my friend pointed out to me that it's an honor.
I think you're right. Those are elements. But I tell my employees at the end of the day, we just don't see it as very important. If we were to have an appointment at the Indian Casino at 6 a.m., we're going to make $500, we'd probably be
You're exactly right. If there was a reward or something that we could get our hands on and say, hey, this is really important. He's exactly right. What a great example. But we don't have it right that minute to look at. But men, when you look at it at the end of the day or at the end of the week, and you spent time with the Word, in the Word, and a relationship with God, you got it. You got the greatest reward you can have. It's a priority. It's a priority. You got to have it. It's a commitment. You're getting on. We're going to hit on some of that stuff. We will. For those of you that are really committed to a quiet time, how much time do you spend? What do you like to do? Do you have a time frame? 30 minutes every morning.
I'd be somewhere at 8. It takes me 30 minutes to get there. I leave 30 minutes before. 30 minutes before that, I'm studying the Bible. 30 minutes before that, I'm showering and shaving. So it's the first hour before I leave the house. Shower, shave, and then 30 minutes for quiet time. Sometimes I'll spend an hour and a half. But always, and that, the beauty of that is that you get through shower and shave, what are you going to do? Wait for the wife to go? Just go start your quiet time and get it to the Lord. And after you've done it for 5 or 10 years, you don't do it, you feel like there's a shoe on the wrong feet.
That's right. It becomes a joy, doesn't it? It's part of your day, part of your life. All right. Good response. Good stuff here. What do you have to do to have a quiet time? What are the three things that, if you were writing down three things that you had to have, not in your hand, but three things that you need to have a quiet time, what would they be? Excuse me?
Bible, pencil, and notebook.
Okay, you're going to need those. What else?
Presence
Okay. What else?
Place.
There you go. Okay.
A
place. How about a quiet place? Okay. A daily appointment. You got to have that daily appointment, guys. That's something I've got to get back to, I can tell you. I don't have a daily appointment right now. I'm struggling with that. I might do it in the morning. I might do it in the evening. When I really like to do it is when I'm doing my chores and I just take off 10 or 15 minutes and have my Bible with me and just spend some time. I live on a farm. I'm in the cattle business. And right now I'm working by myself. So I am rushed. I have other businesses going on. And it's gotten out of control. But there's not anything better than being in a pasture somewhere where nobody's around you, can't hear anything but maybe a bird chirping, and to be in the Word. Just studying your Bible, listening to God, what God would have to say. And I can tell you, I don't spend near enough time doing that. Not nearly enough. But it is a joy. What else should you pray for? Or what else should you not have? What else interrupts quiet time?
Radio, television,
okay. What else? We got one more here that's really important.
Phone calls.
We were talking about a quiet place, so what else? What happened a while ago when we were in it, when I had you be quiet for 2 minutes? All right. But what was your mind doing? Was it on one thing? Pray for discipline of a wandering mind. Write that down. If you don't have to take anything away from here, write that down.
I have a friend that counseled me. I tend to roam with my thoughts like mm-hmm. that, and it's one of my big enemies. Mm-hmm. He suggested have a piece of paper and a pen, so when you think of something, just jot it on the paper and go back to your quiet time. Mm-hmm. Think of some chore that you're worried you're going to forget about it. Just jot it down so you can get back on your quiet time. Yep. It's helped me tremendously.
I think it's a great idea. I have that problem. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing. And you know, who's creating this wandering mind, guys? Who's wanting to disturb this quiet time? Satan. He's going to figure out any way he can to get you out of that Word and disrupt that time that you're going to have with the Lord. Pray for that. Discipline of a wandering mind. And for those of you that have not developed a quiet time yet, or let me rephrase that question, how many of you have that problem that are in a quiet time? You ever have that problem? If you don't have, then I brought up the wrong topic.
No, I find that even in church, and I think it has to do, you run so hard all day, all week, and when you finally slow down, then here it comes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right. Have a prayer list. Excuse me. Okay. From wandering. Yeah. Okay. Good thoughts. Good tips. All right, what should your quiet time consist of? What are you going to need?
Quiet place.
Yep, but more when the tangible things. What are you going to need when you go to have your quiet time?
Your study Bible.
Okay, you're going to need a study Bible. We're going to talk about four or five things, but the best quiet time I ever had, the best year I ever had, was I had this Bible right here. And for some reason, God blessed me that year to be able to do what I wanted to do with this Bible. And this is a life application study Bible. And it's in the New Living Translation. It is very easy to read. And it has a tremendous commentary at the bottom of it. And I was able to take a Bible reading program. And each day after I got done reading, I could go back and I was able to read the commentaries. It was the best time I've ever had. So get you a Bible that's easy to read, that you understand, and get a good commentary, because there are going to be things in there that you will not understand. And it won't explain all of them, but it will highlight a lot of them. And you can read through there and you can meditate on that and study on that and figure out why this passage says what it says. The parables are a little misleading sometimes if you don't know what you're looking for. I mean, if you just go through them and not have a lot of study on them before, some of them are a little hard to discern, or they were for me. But if you've got a good commentary, it will explain to you what's going on. It will give you the correct view. And that is very important, to know what you're reading. What else can you use? You may have read the Bible last year. You may have went through the whole thing. What else could you use for your quiet time?
Notebook.
Excuse me?
Notebook.
Notebook?
Or journal.
Journal? Okay. What else can you... What else?
Books that are...
Devotionals. There are a jillion good devotionals out there, guys, that you can read a passage of Scripture and it will have a study with it. Swindoll, Tony Evans, Spurgeon. They showed one, Utmost for His Highest. It was Oswald Chambers. You can go on and on and on. But there are a lot of good devotionals that are fun to read, easy to read, have a lot of application to them. A lot of application.
There's even some of the TGIF. Comes in your email every day. It's
very
like that.
Okay. All right. So try those. Try that.
What was that website? What did you say that? It's called TGIF, Dave Vitus Person. And it's a freebie out of Crosswalk. It's Oz Hillman, I think. And he does, he sends you an email every day. It's like three verses. Like he'll have number 22 or the talking donkey, and he'll talk about it and how it affects his life and how to apply it to his life, not just the observation of church vision, but also the life. Good.
Okay. What else will you be doing in your quiet time? What else will it consist of? We talked about prayer a while ago, and Keith's going to tell you about prayer. He's going to talk about how to incorporate prayer in your quiet time and why you need to. Very important.
Meditation.
There you go. And Scripture memory. Scripture memory. Whew. You talk about difficult. I can tell you guys, if you're like me, that there are going to be two or three things, at least two, that are going to be very difficult for you to do. They are hard. And it may be reading your Bible. You may be great in prayer, but it's hard to read your Bible. You may be good in meditation, just spending some time being quiet and studying and just hearing God's Word. You might be bad in prayer. Or think you're bad in prayer. You don't like it. You don't like to spend time at it. And Scripture memory. I'm horrible at Scripture memory. But guys, don't give up. Just because it all doesn't fit together, don't give up. Keep doing what you're good at, and you'll get better at the others. Be committed to quiet time of some sort. Get started. And as you develop that, it will lead into other things. You will enjoy it.
I had a friend tell me one time about doing Scripture memory that if you just memorize a couple of verses, even John 3:16, you know, when you get older, you start waking up in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and you can't go back to sleep. Start doing your memory verses.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Satan's waking you up or something. Yeah. You don't want to hear any universe,
that's
for sure.
That's right.
That's the way to go back to sleep, isn't it?
Okay. Go ahead. Yes, Tony.
On this subject, the memory system.
Yes.
That I've had it for about 2.5 weeks.
That's
absolutely one of the best resources I think I've ever purchased in my life. And it's very empowering to write scripture. I mean, I've gotten so much from it. Anyone's never tried to make it for sure.
Good.
One verse a week, you have 50 new ones every year. And if you have 50, you have 50 arrows to equip.
Mm-hmm. Ready to go. Last year my verse, and I just took one because I wanted to study on it hard. It's Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And I probably can't say it to you this morning the way it needs to be said, but it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will... I didn't look at it this morning. So guard your heart. Yeah. So, see, I'm still not good at it.
But you got the meaning of it memorized.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Well, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The thing that I was looking for, guys, was the anxiousness. I wanted something that would keep me from being anxious. I'm in a business where, I'm not saying the rest of you aren't, but the market changes every minute. And I mean fast. And it will drive you up a wall trying to keep up with it or trying to look down the future and how to predict what's going to happen or how you market this or buy this and try to figure out a profit. And I had to have a verse. And I will tell you, guys, that verse saved me last year. I don't know how many times I repeated it. And I'm looking for my verse this year. And I'm going to find another one. And I'm going to have a verse for this year. And I hope to have many more. I love the verse in James that talks about the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I love that verse. Righteous is a big word. But the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Think about that. Okay, what will quiet time provide? What are we going to get out of our quiet time? That's right. That's number one. We're going to have a more intimate relationship with God. What else? What else are you going to get out of it? How about a greater sense of peace and joy? Any of you do you feel that peace? Do any of you have that anxiousness? Are you full of joy? Do you desire that peace? How many of you want to hear from God? How many of you truly want to hear from God? Do you desire that relationship? Are you going to put Him in front of you? How many have got yourself in front right now? And what would happen if you put God in front? What's going to change in your life if you let God be in front? That when you start the day, that God's the first thing on your mind. We're going to have a better understanding of His love. And that's hard right there, guys, to understand His love. That's a big subject. That's deep. That's something that we, at least me as a human being, as a man, I can't fathom. The degree of love that He has for me. I don't have it. I'll tell you. Removal of spiritual blockers. You'll remove the things that are keeping you from getting there. the Word of God and prayer become a priority. Is it a priority for you today? How many of you look forward to it? What are your priorities? Might ought to write them down. What are your priorities today and what should they be? Ken Humphreys talked about that a little bit last night. Priorities. We turn them over to God. Remember he talked about he wanted to walk through the doors or beat the doors down and running a business that was your priority. And when he finally turned it all over to God, he was able to walk through the doors. God opened them for him. And this I thought was good. And I want you to know that I didn't write all these out. I had a lot of help here. I've taken some things here from a great friend of mine, Walt Baker. Took some from Charles Stanley. I got some of the stuff off the internet. None of these things were things that I really created on my own, but things that I have enjoyed, things that have empowered me to do more. And I'm looking forward to doing way more than I've done. But here's something that I thought was great. What before was an effort is now an energizer. You will look forward to enjoying being or spending time in the Word. You will enjoy your quiet time. You will miss it, as you said a while ago. I've had years where I do a quiet time and I think, boy, I'll take 3 or 4 months off just to rest. You can't do it. I promise you, you will want to be back in the Word. You might get by with a week or two, but you're going to go looking for something to put you back in the Word. And if you don't, you're going to have so many of those arrows coming at you and so many problems that you can't handle, you'll be ready to pull your hair out. You'll get back to the Word. But it'll be fun, and you'll realize how much you need it. And in closing here, I want to warn you about some things. Be careful about the quiet time treadmill. Quiet time is about grace, not duty. Okay? There is nothing more dangerous than pride of devotional consistency. Be careful. Don't do it just because you think you're forced to do it, that you're pleasing God. You need to have the right heart, right attitude, men, when you go into it. Don't get up and say, oh, I got to do my quiet time this morning. Do it because you love the Lord. Do it because you know what it's going to empower you to do. Do it because you're going to change His kingdom. It's going to change your life. And it's going to help you be that spring, that bubbling spring of water that God talks about in those passages. Enjoy it. When you leave here today, we have a small New Testament that we are using in our church to read for the year. And it's an easy reading New Testament. Read one chapter a day. There's 260 some chapters, I think, in the New Testament. You've still got plenty of time to read it and finish it. So if you don't have something, we have those back there that we want to give to you. So thank you.
Dwayne, Sid, would you pass it out, Dwayne? Make sure everybody gets one of these. Make sure he gets one of these. Well, Jeffrey's talking about here, 3 months ago when we started this little adventure, we're both a little scared, a little concerned, because there's nothing more important than sharing the Word of God, especially with other brothers. And as we started this, I was going to do the part over the Bible study, and he was going to do the part over prayer. And we had gone through about 6 weeks. We'd been meeting weekly, and somehow in the whole process, God put on our heart that we need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to work in areas that maybe we're not good at. And with him not being an early riser, Bible study was one thing. Well, I was just the opposite. The Bible study hadn't been the problem. Mine had been my prayer life. Does everybody have a handout? What I'd like for you to do, just spend 30 seconds here on the handout. And on the first few scriptures, starting with 1 Thessalonians, somebody over here find a couple scriptures as we go around the room. And on the second page, you guys, I'm going to call on you to read the scriptures here in a minute. There's about 13 different scriptures. And as I call on you, just raise your hand if you'd read the scripture. I'd appreciate it so we could discuss each one of them in depth. But up to age 19, I'd only been in church three times up to age 19. So church was pretty new to me. And as I got 20 and had a college coach took us to church one Sunday, and I thought over the years that as I accept Christ that I was really growing. About 3 years ago, Virgil Coffee here came up and was sharing with the group at church. And I thought, this guy is really aggressive. This guy really, scripture memory. You know, what does he think that we're about here? And as we go through things, a year and a half ago, Jeffrey and I started meeting on Tuesdays. We met over lunch because we both like to eat, so it seemed logical. And a friendship has developed. We've known each other for about 8.5 years. But as we were sitting there one day, it's about a year and a half ago, and I told him, I said, Jeffrey, my prayer life just isn't what it should be. And he goes, oh, I'm sure it's okay. I said, no, it's not. And Virgil been putting on our heart with key men, the navigators, and scripture memory, reading Bible. And we have a great once a month men's group at church. We meet for breakfast. I said, Jeffrey, no, my prayer life is just so-so. And we went through, and I'd get up in the morning at 6 o'clock every morning. Had no problem. I'd go through and do my Bible study. I love reading the Word. But then I'd get up and I'd go get in the shower. I'd pray, lean against the side, and I'd pray in the shower. I'd walk out to my car, be praying as I'm walking to my car. Then I get in the vehicle, and oh yeah, this is a good one. I would pray on the way to work. Now mind you, that's only 6 blocks. Or since I work in the public school system, we always have quiet time every morning. That whopping minute, that's a big prayer time. But sometimes when our high school principal would say, that it was over and went on with that I would sit there, I might pray another 30 seconds if I really needed something in my life. And I thought that I was doing praying. But as Kevin said earlier here, prayer was a duty to me. Prayer was really difficult. I love reading and studying. And, my kids, I have three teenage daughters now. And as they're growing up, they get up in the morning, they see Dad at 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm in there in my chair and I'm reading my Bible and feeling good about myself. But I wouldn't spend time doing prayer. And only by grace can that happen. I told Jeffrey, I said, 6 o'clock in the morning, that's no problem. He said, I can't even hardly get out of roll over in bed at 6 o'clock in the morning. This morning, I'm up early. Virgil's the only one I know gets up earlier than I do to have Bible study. We go down and sit, and he's got everything spread out over 2 tables. And I'm thinking, well, I thought I really was doing a good job. But as you look on your notes here, on the first one, the top, what really excites you? Me? I love deer hunting. You get me up 4 o'clock, somebody say, we're going deer hunting tomorrow. I can stay up all night to go deer hunting. So I got to get up early. And the first time that I had really started reading a Promise Keepers book, I was in a tree stand. I still have that book today because it has deer blood on it. I was so excited that I'm sitting here, I'm doing what I'm sitting in a tree and nobody's bothering me. Cell phone's not going off. But what are some things that excite you? Race car, golf. Your family, quiet time with your kids. I don't know. That's what you need to think about. Where's your priorities at? What does quiet time consist of? Jeffrey talked about several things. Having the Bible, reading, and studying, being in a quiet place. What does prayer mean to you? Well, to me, it truly meant a duty. It was something that I had to do. Not because I really wanted to. Are by grace that God gives us. And through that, I asked Jeffrey, I said, what am I going to do to to have a better quiet time. I'm going to tell you right now, brothers, be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for, because when you do, God's going to give it to you. And sometimes He gives you it by tons, just a whole load. Because shortly after we met, my oldest daughter had got cysts on her ovaries, very painful. And we took her doctor, and then, you know, a week later, they were going to go in and remove the cyst. And about two or three days before that, the cyst, I don't know what was going on, but she said, I'm feeling pretty good. And I said, well, you got told church is praying for you, hon. So then we went back to the doctor, and he come back and he says, there's nothing there. It's gone. And I thought, all right, prayer worked again. Because I felt that the duty here. Who has 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 18. Okay?
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give everything your thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus.
Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. God doesn't want us to straddle the fence, people. He wants us on fire for Him. Always. Regardless of 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night, we got to be on fire for Him. Who has Matthew 6:21? Okay, Mike?
For well, where
your treasure is?
Treasure is there, and your heart will be also.
Trust me, wherever a man's treasure is, that's where his heart's going to be. Is it in your job? Is it in your hobbies, activities? I don't know. Only that's between you and God. But what's your treasure? Is it the Word of God? Is that number one in your life? I look back and go, how many of you in here know the day that you accepted Christ? Put your hands up. How many truly know the day? If I call on you, what day is it? I can tell you mine. December 17th, 1986. I was 21 years old, just a few days shy. I know the day. How many of you know the exact day that you were baptized? Now, these are the two most important things in your life. This is the most important thing. Is having eternal life with Jesus Christ. And the baptism is obviously, it's a profession of faith to the people around you. Down with the old, up with the new. But I know it's January 11th, 1987. So we started going to church, and we have groups, and some men go, well, I'm just not really sure what day. And I sit there and I look at I'll sit there and say, how do you not know? Well, I grew up in church. You know, it just happens sometime. I'm going, that's not a good answer to me. That's unacceptable. You need to know the day. And as I go through, who has Mark 1:35? Let's let this young man right here read Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35 is reading, and early in the morning, while it was still dark, he arose and went out and departed to a lonely place and was praying there. That's the reason I took the scripture as little, the gospel, this is it. Every man should get up in the morning and have their quiet time. No questions asked. It's like you should know the day you accept Christ. You should know the day you're baptized. You should know these things. That's how I felt. And that's where a little bit of legalism comes in. You got to be careful because there's no grace in that whatsoever. Jeffrey's taught me grace this last year and a half. We're opposites. Night and day. But see, I went to a church in Wichita, Kansas. I hadn't been a Christian very long. It was a big church. Great praise and worship. But they truly, what they taught was that when you prayed about something, I've shared this with my brothers here either. I got 5 of them I go to church with in here today. But if you did not get the outcome in that prayer that was a good outcome, you weren't in line with God. So I believe that for about 15 years of my Christian life. I felt a failure at times in prayer. That's the reason prayer became a duty to me. Was because I sit there and I go, God, I failed you again. Where did I sin at? Where did I make that mistake? Why didn't that person get well? Why did this lady lose her baby? And I sat there, and that's where the legalism come in. I'm going, God, I need some mercy. I need some grace. I always thought it had to be my time, my way. That's totally wrong. You know, I know we take Scripture here. God wants us in His Word. And it really doesn't matter where it's at. It doesn't matter what time it is. But I know how men are. And I love seeing these young men out here today in the group. I mean, it's just, it. You know, when you walk in the door, I'm looking, seeing everybody come out of the mess. I'm thinking, who's coming on down here? That's wrong building. Come on down here. You'll hear something maybe good. But it is. You're not here by chance today. We're not all here by chance. We're here because we love God. We're here to grow. And what's more important than having a good quiet time with prayer? Regardless of where the place is, regardless of where the time is, it's got to be fruitful. It's got to be fruitful. And that's something to hard for me to understand. If you go to the next on why pray, this will be on your handout. Four reasons we pray: obedience to God, communicate with God, dependence upon God, and partnership. You got to be obedient. God wants a communication. My problem is, and my brothers, they make fun of me, is I want to control the conversation most of the time. I want to do the talking. I want you to listen because I got something good to say. We're really only about 2% of it's worth listening. We figured that on the ride down here from Oklahoma City.
A little high on your percentage
here. A little high? Okay, maybe one. See, that's what's good about having brothers, that they want to keep you accountable. That's for sure. They want to share with you and get you in the right direction. But as my daughter was healed, at the time this happened a year and a half ago, I thought, well, I must be in line with God. He answered my prayer. I still had this a little bit of this thinking of legalism here. And 2 months went by, and we were praying and we were meeting. We used to meet, and I get chicken fajitas because I like them. But we were at a ball game. Actually, it was this night. A year ago, it was on a Friday night a year ago, that our girls got beat out of playoffs. We was up in the Panhandle, Oklahoma. Coach was upset, and I needed to get to him because they were going to play. We boys were playing that night. So I went down to get him, and I twisted to get him by his arms, kind of calm him down a little bit. Well, my back just felt kind of funny. I thought, well, that's a little different than it's ever felt. And to make a long story short, the last vertebrae just split. I broke it years before. I didn't know that. Doctors had said, you know, it's just a bulging vertebrae. It's a birth defect or whatever. But to make a long story short, the vertebrae just split in my back. And several of these men were here at the Key Man conference last year when they heard the news. And we went to the hospital there in Woodward. And I was sitting in the deal. What happened was I went out to the Suburban to kind of back up about 15 minutes. And if I walk, the pain would go away. I just go on, walk a quarter mile. The little lower back pain would go away. Well, this time it wasn't going away. So I took the keys to the Suburban. I threw it to my athletic director. And I said, you're going to have to drive us down to the... Because we were taking the girls out to eat. Then we were going to come back and watch the boys play. Well, when I went to get in the Suburban in the back seat, I just locked up like a dog. I mean, he just threw me in the floor. I'm on my hands and my knees. I couldn't move. His wife's 7 months pregnant, by the way, and she's white as a ghost because she had no idea what was going on. And the hospital there wouldn't do anything. Woodward Hospital, they wouldn't give me a shot. And my wife's 5'2", and I really hadn't seen her that upset because they said, we can't touch him unless he can get out of Suburban. And I said, I can't get out. I move it. It's too painful. Well, the drive down, my daughters went with us. I had one in the front seat. My oldest daughter was to the right of me in the captain's chair. My middle one was in the back. The one in the back, she was laying hands on my shoulder. She was praying for me. My other one, she just rubbed my arm. She rubbed the hair off all my arm the whole trip. It was a 4-hour ride to Oklahoma City. And just severe pain. We got there at the hospital, and 3 guys came to get me out of the Suburban. And all this time, we're going out and tell my wife, I said, whatever you do, honey, don't lose it like you did at the last hospital because they won't help me here. Because I'm sitting there looking at this little, she was throwing some fit. And I said, that's not going to benefit me any here. I need some help. Because at the time I thought I just blew out a vertebrae. I mean a disc or something. I never dreamed my back was truly broke. Well, they helped me get out of there. One guy, I think I broke his hand. I said, don't grab my hand, because if you do, if I have a spasm, which are happening about every 5 minutes now, my whole body locked up. And he says, oh, you're all right. Well, sure enough, when they got me out of Suburban, I had a spasm, and I heard his hand popping because I was squeezing so hard because the pain was unbearable. Then they got me in a wheelchair, and it kind of relaxed a little bit. They took me inside, and I said, you guys don't want me in this wheelchair. And he said, oh, you're fine. I said, I'll tell you, if I have a spasm here, first of all, it's going to be really loud because I'm going to holler. And I'm able to tear this wheelchair up. And she laughed. She said, that thing's solid steel. 3 minutes later, spasm. I broke the whole back out of the wheelchair. She came over and she said, maybe we need to lay you in a bed. I said, I told you. So we're sitting here, and my wife was telling the kids the whole time that the doctors were taking care of me. Well, I was in the hospital. I was laid in the bed for 3 hours with still nothing. The doctors were working on, heart people, and mine wasn't life-threatening. It was just very painful. And as with hospital, I had surgery the next day. The doctor came in. He says, you're probably possibility to be paralyzed from the waist down. It's a chance you may not come out of surgery. And I said, Doc, I really don't care what happens. At the time, they had me on morphine down my neck. I was feeling pretty good. But I said, I don't care. I can't go back to what I had. So we went in. These guys were praying. They were on their way up there to the hospital. But to stay in the hospital was pretty emotional. I come out of surgery, and this all goes back to the prayer time here. Well, as I was laying there and I come out the next day, I couldn't move my right leg. And I sat there and I told my wife, I said, I can't move my right leg. She said, well, you knew that there could be paralysis. And I sat there and I said, honey, what am I going to do? So it went almost 2 days, and finally I could move my big toe, and I thought, God, that's great. I could pull my leg as long as I could just get on my feet again. They had put titanium rods with and screws in my back to hold it all, just kind of super glued it all back together. And for I was in the hospital there, and finally I got where I could move my foot a little bit. And the third day, they sent me to the Jim Thorpe Rehab Center. And I still could feel the tops of my legs. There's just, you could stick me, there was nothing there. And finally, these two little whippersnapper girls, they both of them together, didn't weigh 150 pounds, come to me and said, we're going to get you out of bed. I said, oh, no, we're not getting out of bed. We're going to stay here for a while. This pain goes away. They say they got me out of bed and got me on a walker. And I got where I could just hold my leg. It's just straight. And I would go about a half inch. From here to that wall would take me an hour and a half, and I would be wringing wet with sweat. And at that time, I sat there, and I'm going through, and I'm praying. These guys come see me. The whole basketball team, I don't know how many kids from school came see me. And they were there, and I just started bawling. I just started crying. And I sat there, and I remember Coach Ray grabbed my leg. He said, what's the matter? I said, I don't know. I'm laid up in bed. I can't go watch the game. Boys made state tournament, playing at the Big House in Oklahoma City, and I couldn't make it. And at that time, I was truly broken. I was helpless. And I was so dependent upon God. I truly, at that time, I found Jesus in my prayer life. Because it wasn't about duty anymore. It was about grace. And I sit there and I always thought to myself, it's always one thing to know God's Word, but it's a different one to apply it. Are you applying God's Word now? You know, we're here today to truly grow. I mean, most of you, this is a Friday. A lot of you were here probably even last night. But the scripture he shared was Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Who has that?
I've got it. Okay. This will read different than I memorized it. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus.
With this scripture, I'm really notorious about just taking one scripture out, because the whole time I've always just wanted to do Philippians 4:6. And I would tell him, be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. That's where I'd stop. And that's what I would do. But the second part of it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. At that time, prayer truly was about grace. That it wasn't about if I was in line with God. That wasn't it. It was about, was I truly seeking God first? The five steps you have on your handout, we're not going to be able to go quite as in depth as I intended to. But the first one, in Psalms and Acts, talks about adoration. In adoration, these five steps are the steps that when you sit down and you have a prayer time, these are the steps that you should follow. The first four actually come from a Promise Keepers. It's not the first thing that they probably invented. They got it from somewhere else, but it's Acts. A-C-T-S. A-C-T-S. Well, Jeffrey and I, we went ahead and added the other C to it because it just didn't seem complete. Number one was, it talks about the A is adoration. Praise God for His glory, for His splendor. Praise God that we can have eternal life. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, before you leave here today, we want to make sure that you know Christ. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love God. I hadn't heard about Key Man until really a year ago. And I've been a Christian over almost 23 years. The second part is confession. Confess your sins. Maybe you need to confess your unknown sins. Maybe there's something that's stored away that you forgot about. Number three is thanksgiving. Focus on God. Be sure and give gratitude to God. Be thankful that we're up walking. Be thankful. I have no back pain anymore. My back had been broke for 20 years. I remember what happened. It was a construction accident. I know what broke the back. But I thought it just knocked the breath out of me. I was just out of college, man. Didn't have a belly then. I was one of the flat bellies, like these young men here. But be thankful. The last one, supplication. Jeffrey talked about that, just praying. You don't always have to go and ask, but supplication is what we ask, we pray for our needs. What are your needs? Do you have a friend that's hurting or a family member? This economy, what's going on? How uncertain is all that, especially as men? But we sit there and we pray about it. The last one is, what we added was the C, was commitment. Whatever you do, do it every day. You don't have to pray every step here. You may skip a step ever so often. But acts, we talk about adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, and the last one is commitment. When you're going through your steps and you're praying in the morning, or I keep go back to the morning, that's what I do, is be sure and follow those steps. It'll help you. We talked about taking notes, writing things down in a journal, blocking things out. Psalms 119, verse 11. First scripture memory I ever memorized. My wife and I had just accepted Christ in December 17, 1986. It was over that Christmas break that we went through, and I thought, this is a neat verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Because before I known Christ, I'll be quite honest with you, you probably wouldn't like being around me a whole lot. Because I wasn't the most positive person. Things come out of my mouth, whew, it was pretty. I thought everybody else did it. Family did it, so I thought I would too. But this scripture here really touched my heart because I thought, if I can hide enough of this Bible, if I can put enough of this in my mind and my heart, I won't sin anymore. Well, I was wrong. Remember, heaven is not for good people. This is my mom here. I'm good. Heaven is not for good people. Heaven is for forgiven people. Are you forgiven? Have you prayed a prayer? I've always been so focused on myself. I've been pretty high about myself my whole life. I think a lot of it contributes back to my family, playing sports, and I thought that I was pretty good at a lot of things. But I realized that over this last year and a half especially, is that God wants me to focus off of myself and focus on others. To pray for you men here. To pray for this conference. Because today, more than anything, that it wasn't the fear of coming and sharing with you. It was the fear that God would not be able to get through to you what we wanted to say. It's one thing to get in front of a crowd and talk and share. You know, if I talk about education or something, I know that real well. And I know this pretty good, but am I getting through to you? That's what I was worried about. Well, as we're going through, we talk about grace. Why does God give us the grace to go through things and not the power just to deliver us from them? He could have healed my back over the 20 years. He could have put the bones back together. But at this perfect time, He needed me to be broken. He needed to be laying there in a bed helpless. Can't even get out of bed and go to the restroom. Can't take a bath. And all these brothers came see me at the hospital. And a couple of them helped me get out of bed. A couple of them I had to just hold on to and hug for just a minute so I could kind of get my legs underneath me because I just couldn't move. It was such a pain. And I thought, man, this may be the rest of my life this way. Well, things were going pretty well. My prayer life after that, I was truly praying. I truly had found grace. It wasn't a duty anymore. It was an honor to pray. It was an honor to look down my list of needs we had in church. But on September the 23rd, my wife went in for a colonoscopy. 43 years old. We sit in a room, it's kind of like this. I'm sitting there reading magazines. I thought, this is kind of funny. You know, they put her to sleep and they're going to check things out. And I noticed that every few minutes, somebody would go back to her room. Nurse would come to the door and she said, come on back, they're coming out of recovery. And I watched for about an hour this was happening. An hour and a half went by, a nurse came out and said, doctor needs to talk to you. I said, well, everybody's just going back seeing their family. Doctor needs... He needs to see you come with me over in this little room. I never seen this door open. They took me over to the consultation room. I sat there for a few minutes. I thought, that's weird. Well, the doctor came to me and he said, I want to tell you, your wife has rectal cancer. Wow. And I didn't know at the time it was a little bigger than a dollar bill that was in her rectum. I sat there and I prayed, I cried, I went to my knees. Mind you, I don't like her a whole lot, but I didn't want her to go. We've been dating since I was a freshman in high school. We came to Christ together, same day, baptized the same Sunday evening. I'll never forget, she was baptized right before me, and I just sat there and I bawled like a baby when she came out of the water, because I thought, this is real. And he said, I'm going to send you to a specialist. He said, I'm going to send you to somebody I'd want to operate on my kids if they had cancer. A week later, we were at another doctor. I'll shorten all the details and everything because Jeffrey advised me to. But we was in there and I was laughing at all the instruments that were on this table. And there's a funny looking table. Well, my wife, they checked her out and the doctor and she was crying. She was so humiliated. Because we'd ask her, and when we finally got back down in the car, and I reached over and I touched her on the leg. I said, one thing about it, honey, we know what every one of those instruments are for now. Because it was very humbling. And he said, we got to operate soon. So another week went by. We're October 7th. We're having surgery. My brothers were there early in the morning. We was in at about 5 o'clock. Several come by in that morning just praying. And you talk about a church. When a church prays, things happen. And the doctor came back to us and they left her about 1 inch of her rectum and took 4 feet of her colon, pulled it all back down and reattached it. And he came back out and he says, hey, things are good. It was just precancer. She doesn't need chemo. She doesn't need therapy. It's 100%. It's gone. But she's going to have to wear a bag for a while. But this whole time in the process, my wife never stumbled once in her faith. She says, no problem. Two things are going to happen. Either I'm going to die, I'm going to be in heaven, or I'm going to be healed. One or the other is going to happen. And not one time did she ever veer from that. And I thought, man, what faith. Because I'd be in my office sometime, I'd start crying. I said, you know, over that 2 week period, I'm going, man, what am I going to do? You know, I start, who's going to do the laundry? Who's going to do the dishes? You know, who's going to take care of these teenage daughters? But it was awesome that the way that worked. God is at work in all of us. And 3 months later, the day after Christmas, she had that bag removed. Doctor said it'd be a year before things work like it should. 4 days later, normal, working like it should, all of it. Miracle after miracle after miracle this last year and a half. In this whole process, what God was doing was teaching me faith. As Jeffrey talked about earlier, don't ever forget who stands in the way of your prayer time. That quiet time in the morning, that praying when you start wondering, thinking about, well, 10 o'clock I do this. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I get back on task here. Well, tonight I got a meeting. Oh, I'm back on task again. That's Satan. You know why? Satan, he fears that. This is the one thing, as Jeffrey and I talked about a month ago, was this is one thing Satan will fight harder than anything is your prayer life. Because that is direct communication between you and God. You know, you read your Bible, he talks to you, you talk to him. It's like the hotline. 7 steps in quiet time. Make sure that you establish a definite time. Doesn't matter where. Be ready to be still and listen. Have the quiet place. More importantly, the inner noise. What's going on up here? That distractions. Those 100 things that you got to get done by Friday. Have a Bible, pen, pencil. Be ready and have periods of silence. Because I got 2 minutes a while ago. It seemed like quite a while. Sometimes you just sit still. Just sit still. And let God talk to you. Some way, somehow. And the last but not least, somebody mentioned it earlier, was that when you pray, you know, we get up at 6 in the morning, I'm reading, I'm praying, as my mind starts wandering, start praying out loud. If you pray out loud, it keeps you on track because you're hearing yourself. So praying out loud is really important. Now I shared 3 short stories with you here. One about my daughter being healed. One about my back being healed, which is just a miracle by itself. And about my wife. What one doctor says is cancer till it's precancerous. It really wasn't anything other than just a big nasty mass. Now granted, she looks like railroad tracks all over her front here from each one had surgeries. But she's healed. Sometimes things don't have good outcomes. Sometimes that loved one dies of cancer. Sometimes, my 5th grade teacher lost twins. Sometimes teenagers get killed in car wrecks, texting or doing something stupid. Don't let anybody tell you any different, that your prayer is not answered. Because it's not our will. It's God's will. It's so important to have that. In Luke 5:16, but Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed. These scriptures are all on here. You can take home. I strongly encourage you to take these home, look the scriptures up, write them down. And this year, make it your responsibility or your task or whatever you want to do. Better yet, your honor to glorify God by memorizing these scriptures. And there's thousands of them. Psalms 1:2. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is near. It may be today. It may be 100 years from now. I don't know. But regardless, you need to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Remember, the more time you spend with God, the more you become Christ-like. Are we truly spending time reading the Word? I spend almost an hour every morning. Some of you can probably do the same thing I do in 30 minutes. God doesn't really care about the length of time. He really cares about the quality. Is it fruitful? Do you take notes? Do you write things down? You know, for years, I'll pray about that. Yeah, I'll pray. Soon I walk out the door. What was I supposed to pray about? You got to write it down because we'll forget it. Because we get too busy. Especially even you young men. I know you guys are sharp-minded. But if you tell somebody you're going to pray for them or pray about it, you better do it. And remember that when you get ready to ask something, be careful what you ask your brother about. Because this last year and a half has truly been a lot of trials, and they've all turned out perfect for our family. What it has done for my three daughters, their faith and their growth, is phenomenal. The last thing on your notes here, there's a place called BibleGateway.com. I don't know if any of you use this or not, but what it is, it's got several translations of the Bible. Most of you now have the internet. You have computer at work or laptops or whatever, going to college. But this BibleGateway.com, you can get any scripture. If you're thinking of, if you want to know a scripture that you want to share with a friend, you can just type in obedience to God or leadership. Maybe some of you want to truly be good leaders. Type it in, hit the enter button. It'll come, scriptures will come up, and then within seconds you can read each scripture. Every one of these scriptures here, I guarantee you can find and write them down in 30 minutes. Now, do it in the Bible that you study, though. Because my first scripture I talked about, I memorized, I learned that in the New King James Version. That's a little above my head. I had to lower myself a little bit as far as the easy reading part of it. Some of you got to find the Bible that's comfortable with you. But get in the Word and truly get in your prayer time. Do you have any questions for either one of us? You know, I appreciate you taking the long walk. I don't know why they put us in the last building here. Because I thought what we had to share was the most important of all. Yes. But yes. 8 years ago in this room.
I think that would be the...
Well, the quiet time is your direct communication to God. Yes. Are we listening? Are we following? When you're laying there in the hospital bed and you're totally broken and can't move, and you know, that's all I had time. The time to pray. And I would sit there. And this wasn't the first time. There were four or five times I truly broke down. And, I mean, I'm talking weeping. It wasn't because I felt sorry for myself. It's just I started thinking about all the other things going on around me. And the prayer time, I thank each and every one of you for showing up here this morning. This is truly an honor to come and share some things with you. It doesn't make us each an expert. Like I said, we both switched because we wanted to be challenged a little bit in doing this. But Jeffrey's passed out evaluations. We'd like for you to fill them out.
Fill one out.
Put them back in the box face down. And they'll come by and pick them up at a later date.
I'm going to give you two. I'd like for you to fill one out for each of us, these evaluations, if you would, please.
I know we didn't get time to go through all the verses, but if you go back and you'll take those verses, the handout I gave you, and study those, they'll go right in line with where they're at, just due to time and limit.
And we've got these Bibles on the back chair back here as you go out, if you would like to have one to start your quiet time.
Well, as he's passing these out, I'd like to go ahead and close with prayer, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, Lord. We just thank you for this group of young men and that's come up here today to just truly listen to what it is about quiet time, Bible study and prayer. Lord, most of all, we want to just seek you, God. We want to make sure that you're glorified in everything that we do. And Lord, we need to find a time each day to have a quiet time with you, Lord, without distractions. Lord, because you are our lifeline. You are the most important thing in our life, period, dear God. Lord, I pray that you just give us the grace and the mercy to continue what you want us to do, dear God. We just praise your glory and just may this... 2.5 days that we're here, just truly be a blessing to all of us, God. May we open our hearts to receive what other people have to share with their message. In your precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.